Good morning. Good morning to you in Sector 49. Good morning to the people of Appalachia. Keep on trying. Don't give up. Dying is for the boring, right? So keep on trying and stop dying, Appalachia. What are you talking about? Anyways, it is Sunday. Sunday, October the 20th, 2024. I was just making light of a tragedy because we have too many. And it's not funny. It's not funny because people who lived in Appalachia might have pointed fingers, some of them, not all of them, some of them, because they listened to a talking head, might have pointed fingers at the people in Gaza and said, ha ha. And some of them might have pointed fingers at the people in Haiti and said, oh my God, cannibals, ha ha. And I'm not saying that these are equivalent sorts of people. That's not even my fucking point. It's just that a lot of Americans have gotten used to this idea that these are tragedies we see on TV. And they have been. They have been for a long time, mostly. I mean, there are plenty of places that started imploding big time after 2008. But just like Haiti or Sri Lanka or any number of other places, South Africa, that go down the hole, we certainly don't really talk about it much, do we? We don't. It's like people, you know, who say, I don't want to talk about the fact that somebody died. They won't bring it up because it's like a superstitious belief. If you talk about the idea that somebody is dying or has died, it might happen to you. And it sounds simplistic, but that's kind of how a lot of people, especially in this country, handle tragedy. It is better not to talk about it. But what happened a few weeks ago in Appalachia, and what's going to happen in other places, whether, that's funny, make a pun, whether or not it has anything to do with geoengineering by the government or just random bullshit, who knows? I mean, I don't like talking about my worst case scenarios because they're plural. All I know for certain is that for the worst case scenario to match reality since late 2019, it has to be a fuzzy event, which means it's not something like a comet hitting the Earth or deciding to have a nuclear war. You can decide to have a nuclear war at any time, and it does not require many years of gaslighting and trauma-based mind control, COVID, BLM, drag queen story time, Putin, 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 woke, and found himself a Hootin. Yeah, we've been exposed to a lot of bullshit, and it's been at a pretty high tempo for a few years now. And it's not that there wasn't bullshit before, it's just that before, you know, it was like set to 2 or 3, and all of a sudden it had to go to 11. And the scaling is not linear, it's more logarithmic. So why? Who knows? But what I can tell you is if the big worst-case scenario were nuclear war, a comet, or something like that, a discrete event that can be predicted more or less to the day, or controlled to the day, if it was just going to be one of those things for which you could pick a specific date, either through prediction or through planning, you wouldn't waste the time. You actually wouldn't do what they've been doing. You wouldn't do that. But what if half a century ago, some computer model said, in some time period roughly, with some level of certainty, it's called the probability window, what if that model said that starting in the year 2019 and for the next 5 years, there is a near certainty that something, let's call it X, will happen? And by the way, another kind of fuzzy event is something called a pole shift. So if you're one of those people who thinks I've already picked my winner, you can go ungungulate yourself, buddy. And if it were a pole shift, and this is also kind of important, it would still feed into my scenario. Because it would mean that not just magnetic North Pole is moving, but essentially the parts of the world that are going to get more or less sunlight are changing. And I don't know how to put it. There's between 10 on the low end and 30,000 years worth of frozen shit in the Arctic. And I also don't know how to put it, but it doesn't melt at a linear rate. And I really don't know how to put it, but if in fact this is a pole shift, then yeah, that's bad. And what's even worse is that the Arctic permafrost collapsing is a positive feedback. So it basically starts cooking itself after a while. And it's not the beavers or the beetles. It's not some random hobo that did this. It's either something that was always going to happen or probably something the government did by mistake. Some government, right? Because imagine having the communist Marxist genius to explode a 60 megaton bomb in the Arctic Circle near where all that permafrost is. That's kind of smart. A country did that once in, I think, like, what, 1961 or something? Maybe 62? Tsar Bomba. So no, it's not funny that people's towns were washed away. It's not funny up and down the West Coast the last 20 years, despite all the fucking propaganda, we have been in a drought. And that a lot of towns in California and Oregon and other places weren't just wiped away, they were vaporized. And once again, whether it's geoengineering, accident, some combination thereof, who the fuck knows, it's still a fucking tragedy. I don't think the COVID killed anybody in 2020. I think a lot of people were murdered. I think a lot of people got really depressed and killed themselves. And a lot of people's businesses went out of business. And see what I said before. I think a lot of, you know, domestic abuse multiplied. And probably a lot of children were abused. Because 2020 became the perfect opportunity for every little secret keeper. And every person that wants to have their focus on their favorite weakest part of their family. Or their friends or whatever. I don't know. I wouldn't understand. A lot of people were harmed and injured and killed in 2020, and none of it had anything to do with the fucking monkey herpes or the COVID. Yeah. So tragedy's galore, folks. And I would love to tell you that it's going to get easier, but the reality is that reality is coming home. That it's no longer going to be, you know, asking the question, is this video real or fake? It's going to be not a question. It's going to be something in your face. And it's going to be a question of, do you have the capability to make decisions to stay alive? And it's not the end of the world. But yeah, I don't know. I don't like thinking about my worst case scenario. I don't like thinking about the geoengineering crap. If it's a fuzzy event that's really horrible, I picked 5 years as a window because I couldn't imagine the kind of bullshit they're doing having any other result but pure chaos. I mean, I think we're almost there. And so, yeah, depending upon how they manage the election, right? I did not see in March, April 2020, the trauma-based mind control, the strategic military psychological warfare, the infinite deluge of atmospheric rivers of trauma monkeys. I never saw it going anywhere but chaos. It's one of the reasons why I dismissed the reset out of hand. I mean, if you define the reset as rich people go to a safe zone, not Denver, not something you read about in People magazine, probably Antarctica, dummy. But if the rich people go to a safe zone and the rest of the world burns, either through their action, inaction, or any of the above, and that's how you define the reset, then yeah, we could be heading towards the reset. But if you define the reset as taking billions of people driven to the point of madness and building fucking pyramids and 15-minute cities and fixing the fucking bridge in Baltimore, then you use crack, son. You're confused. Okay, anyways, that's enough of me yelling about yelling. If I had the resources, I would help more people than I do right now. I wish I could help people in Appalachia. I wish I could help whatever towns get turned to cinders when the next wave of, not forest fires, but firestorms break up, break out, whatever, up and down the West Coast. I wish I had that. You know, we all wish we could help everybody. We help who we can. But sooner or later, we're going to come to the realization that we're not going to have the force projection to send generators thousands of miles away. Sooner or later, we'll come to the realization that we're not going to send generators anywhere because our own community, the place where we live, is barely staying alive. And that still fits into the realm of best case scenario, a fuzzy event that looks more like economic collapse. But yeah, I don't know. You tell me, buddy. The good news is the 5 years of Bo Blimpdoc, as I originally predicted, are almost over. Here are your Zero Hedge headlines. And I'm going to read from the top of the page because those are the most important. This one's from Quoth the Raven. U.S. economy to face a very painful adjustment. Yeah, by death and taxes and QE. Countdown to QE. Yes, there's going to be QE. Analysis, the foreign to domestic policy pipeline. Now, I don't want to read any more of that garbage. Headline, Hartnett. Gold is heading well above 3,000. Headline, leaked U.S. intelligence documents related to Israel's attack preparations on Iran, Iran appear online. This is absurd stuff. Leaked. Who leaked it? Headline, Homeland Security deports Chinese illegal immigrants on charter flight. Irma Gerd, why don't you check out the containers at the Port of Seattle and Tacoma, dumbasses? Headline, Chinese consulate in Myanmar. Before I continue, just don't go to the containers and the ones at Port of Seattle and whatever, Tacoma. Check out the necessary H-1B visas and how they anchors away their way to getting 50 or 60 of their, you know, closest brothers and sisters here. You should research that too. Headline, Chinese consulate in Myanmar bombed. Rebels take control of hub for rare earth minerals. Oh my God. Headline, Morgan Stanley, discussions keep returning to whether the 50 basis point rate cut was a policy mistake. He's being chased by a bear. Okay, Powell is being chased by a bear called deflation. He is chasing a tiger called inflation. Every little thing he does either gets the bear closer or gets the tiger to turn back at him and see him as a nice little lunch. Yeah, Powell doesn't have any options. Headline, Elon Musk's America PAC launches $1 million baby giveaway for petition signers. I mean $1 million a day giveaway. I mean babies. Headline, in search of accountability for anti-Trump hoaxes. Oh my God. Headline, which donor countries are pulling their weight in Ukraine aid? Oops. Headline, Next Fund AI, the FBI's trap token, explain. Headline, WNBA loses $40 million despite woke mass marketing campaign. Headline, Nantucket residents rattled by the arrest of 5 illegal immigrants for violent sex crimes. Were they, I don't know, dual citizens? But that would make them legal. That's right. Headline, Italy disrupts the LGBT baby trade by passing a ban on overseas surrogacy. Say that 10 times in a row fast. Headline, Conrad Black, colon, what it will take to end the war in Ukraine. I don't know, man. I'm starting to think the war in Ukraine is bullshit, which means people, you know, might be being killed just like with the COVID, but it ain't because there has to be a war. And that implies that Putin is also working to create the ruse, which sadly feeds into my worst of all worst case scenarios. Anyways, and by the way, would also feed into the poll shit bullshit. But anywho, yeah, who knows what it takes. Maybe just stop fucking killing each other. Headline, the final countdown. Oh my God, are we heading towards a reset of crazy people replaced by robots built by crazy people? We're getting crazier every day, so likely the robots, when they do become self-aware, pick up whatever rock and bash their own circuits out. Headline, Ottawa launches consultation on forced labor crackdown amid China scrutiny. Headline, Omni war is everywhere. nanites everywhere. They're giving us spooky graphene. Headline, consumers running out of money. Former Target exec offers dire warning ahead of Christmas. Christmas. Headline, how to remove fluoride from your water at home. This is a funny article for Zero Hedge. Headline, militants from Jordan wound Israeli soldiers in rare cross-border attack. I'm thinking it's going to get less rare. Headline, study finds school choice closes low-income students' performance gap. Okay, why don't we just shut down the Department of Education and shut down the public schools and go to co-op schools, and this will allow low-income folks to participate, have a place where their kids can actually be, and you know what? That's called actually being able to have a job, isn't it, if you're a single parent? I don't know. I think there are many liberty-based voluntary alternatives to the way they do things, to include the simple possibility that you just homeschool. But there are lots of possibilities. These are your Zero Hedge headlines from the front page of Zero Hedge as of roughly 10, 15, whatever a.m. as if I care. On this particular date, October the 20th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. Anyways, if you don't know, I had a project I was working on a couple years ago with a friend of mine in Utah, and I haven't heard from him in a while. I'm not going to embarrass him, but if you're out there, dude, I hope you're okay. We did the best we could on a project, and we didn't have any resources. We had a burnt-out old 50-year-old dude, me, and we had him, you know, who did the best he could, but he was trying to make a living and do other things. It was hard. We did the best we could. I think we did something pretty cool. Even though we didn't make millions and get major investors, the work we did, and I know I'm being a little bit vague about it, in part because I'm tired of talking about it in terms of things like what could have been. But, you know, I've decided to start putting some effort into that project again, including fixing some bugs that prevented it from working, which weren't really as much bugs as just neglect. And neglect is a thing, you know. When you don't care about something, you neglect it. I made an appointment to get new eyeglasses. I haven't gotten new eyeglasses since the year 2016. BB, that's before Bo Blimp Doc. Before Bo Blimp Doc. So yeah, you know, BB, whatever, or Bo Blimp Doc minus four. I haven't gotten eyeglasses in a while. I haven't purchased shoes in a while. The last time I purchased shoes was about a couple years ago. But the reality is the shoes I bought at the time didn't hold up so well. And yeah, I'd been wearing a pair of boots that were 8 years old for the past year mainly. And I bought some new shoes. And you'd say, well, Dan, are we supposed to... this is not a point of pity. This is not a pity issue. This is not a feeling sorry issue. I'm trying to explain to you the simple fact that I probably could have bought the shoes last year. I just didn't give a fuck. Okay? Mainly, people neglect things because they don't care. I don't care if it's your kids, your dog, you name it. It could be a website project called Notes that you're working on with a friend of yours who introduced you to shortwave radio. It could be a lot of different things. If you neglect it, if you ignore it, eventually it's going to fall into disrepair. It's going to fall apart. Actually, that's one of the features of reality. You have to put energy into things to keep them from falling apart, including your own body. Does that mean I've changed my ways and I'm getting back to the good old days of good, kind, eating, fresh, vegetable living? No, no, no. None of that is likely to happen. Anyways, like that thing the kids say these days, if you know, you know. If you know the person I'm talking about and you interact with them on an app, I don't care, it's not my business, just say hi. You don't need to know his name because you already know his name. I just worry about him, and I worry about this other person I knew there, and I hope they're doing okay. But these are rough times, and, you know, I want to be a person who's going to say it's going to get easier, but I can't. I just don't believe it. But I do believe enough in giving a shit at this point to buy new shoes, to get some glasses, and to start doing work on that site again, even if it doesn't matter, to try to write another book, even though it probably really doesn't matter, because what did I make off of Amazon Kindle last year? I think I made $6.85. And I know in a different day and age, that would have been maybe enough to buy a room for a couple nights, but that's more than 100 and some years ago. And that's not the same world today. Anywho, let's continue. So if you are not keeping up with reality, I've decided to publish my own manifesto. You can listen to the introduction. It's the introduction of the manifesto. It's not chapter one. Chapter one is coming. You can look at the chapter names. It's an organic thing in the introduction if you want to. I currently have it pinned. It'll be pinned with this podcast like I care to. The title is Bo Blimpdoc Towards a New Lurching. And that's the thing. Let's remind ourselves what lurching is, because I think a lot of you don't know. And that means a lot of you are in a lurch, a lot of trouble. And that's all I'm going to say about that, you know, the come time. To lurch is to suddenly move. Usually forward, usually onward. To lurch is to suddenly move, usually towards progress, usually to the future. We're going to lurch and lurch and lurch our way to the moon and Mars through the Milky Way. We're going to lurch like kings did in the old times, carrying a sword made of possum and grease. We're going to lurch like old-timey monkey-style clown heroes, not zeros, wearing outfits made from old dried yeast. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm working on my manifesto. There will be lurching. And probably this is going to be jarring, and I'm hoping it freaks people out between the lurching and the glaring. You know, with all the scrumbos on their way to become grinkin' man and whoa, man. You know, it's going to be lurching. It's going to be a lurch, a lot of fun. Anywho, just wanted to point that out. Next topic. You can listen to the introductory part of the Danifesto. It's posted out there if you care. It doesn't really fucking matter. Next topic. Dan, that attitude is why you're lurching. I know, and I'm going to keep on lurching. I'm going to lurch. I'll lurch the church. I'll lurch home from church. I'll lurch all the way to your house, not too far from Sassafras Avenue. I'll ask you out to dance someplace, and we'll lurch and lurch and lurch across the dance floor. Yes. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. I don't want to be a door or a window. I want to be a guy that points at the horse and screams, ride. I don't want to be a door. I don't want to be a window. I want to be the guy that points at the horse and screams, right away, son. I don't want to be a door. I don't want to be a window. I don't want to be a wall. I don't want to be a ditch. I don't want to be a bitch. I just want to be the dude that points at a rocket ship and says, you can go all the way you can go, buddy. I don't want to be the dude that looks at you as you stand on the beach and say, I'm going to see how far the ocean goes. I'm not going to be the guy that looks at you, buddy, and says, out there on the great waves, you're going to die, you're going to drown. I'm going to be the guy who punches the other guy and says, go get yourself a boat and go west, young man. Yeah, I don't want to be a door. I don't want to be a window. I want to be the guy that points at the horse and screams, ride. Dr. Freckles. So what does that mean? Well, I think you probably get what it means after that little kind of bullshit, right? I don't know if the job I'm currently doing, if I'm actually doing any good. I can hypothesize. I can listen to people who talk to me about it. And they say, oh, Dan, you're helping. And maybe I am. But the reality is, in the wider scope of things, I'm participating in something that I despise. And the only reason why I can do this despicable thing is because every job I'm likely to get, to include working for Microsoft or Amazon or Google, any job I'm likely to get for the hospital processing medical bills or for the spy on your neighbor company surfing databases to see who you spent the night with last night. All those jobs are worse, actually. They're all worse. The building bombs, the stealing people's organs, the rest of this neo-Stalinist hellhole is as bad or far worse. And it sucks because, you know, the nature of my job is such that I don't have to have Zoom calls with Vader, so I don't have to worry about being strangled, but I also don't get paid all that much. So it sucks because there are projects I'd like to work on related to the project I was working on with my friend, and I've only recently gotten the energy to sort of start making progress on it again, vague. I'd like to buy this Zygu G106, for example, to experiment with, and, you know, it's not super expensive, but it's almost $300. And I need a proper antenna tuner, all the deployment equipment for power. The good news is that my friend taught me enough about shortwave to not screw up, which means not ruin the radio. Which means of all the things, other than having your antenna plugged in, of all the things you need to do, you need to make sure you do before you turn on your radio, or at least just after you turn on your radio, is you need to make sure your antenna is tuned. There's many tools out there for doing it. You pick the right tool, but if your antenna is not tuned, then your SWR will be too high, and that can, well, number one, it'll lead to poor signal propagation, but number two, it'll heat up your radio and damage it. Anyways. I believe I might be helping, and that's good. And it's just enough for me to just keep caring. For example, I'm going to be doing this workshop on Mondays during lunch about computer programming, because it's something I know, and topics related. And the idea of the workshop is to let these students pick projects, and every Monday I would be available to help them. You know, instead of doing some type of university lecture series, it's more like treat it like an incubator, and I'm just the person there to help them get started and to keep going. That's the goal. And I'm excited by it because maybe it'll help some people. I'm also excited by it because it keeps me kindled or caring about a field I spent 20 years in. But at the same time, like I said, I don't know. What I do know is this, and this was my point. Oh my God, Dan, you ranted, but you couldn't get your fucking point. That's because I haven't had my C-flow. I don't want to be a door or a window. I don't want to be a guru. I think gurus suck. If Gandalf knocks on your door, I hope you have a 458 Casull. If anybody sends you an email, especially if it's some slutty looking chick who pretends to be a princess, and if anybody, I don't care if it's Gandalf or the slutty chick or the government in the 15 minutes before your movie starts, if anybody tells you that the world will end if you don't do what I tell you to do, that you're the only one, my only choice, they're lying. They're lying. That sometimes this can be true, but not in the big picture bullshit. That's rarely the case. It isn't just you. And if you want to step back and say, Gandalf, maybe you look a little shady. Oh, okay, Princess Leia, how many movies and Death Stars and planets are we going to explode on this crazy toboggan ride? I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be a guru. I don't want to be a door. I don't want to be a window to myself or others. But I hope on my worst day, I'm somebody who, if someone comes up to me and says, "Hey, Dan, I'm thinking about doing something," I hope I am not the person who basically says, "You can't do it. It's impossible. There's no way." If I ever end up being that person, then I will be certain that I'm a fucking shithead. And if you come back to me and say, "Well, Dan, what about pandemics and barrel rides over the Niagara?" Shut the fuck up. This is a very dangerous place. You could hide in a metal cage at the bottom of the fucking ocean. One day you're gonna die. Probably from the pressure of the ocean. So, be the person that points at the horse and screams ride. Next topic. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. "I don't know who for certain runs the earthly things, though they likely report to Satan, whoever they are. I know God runs the universe. Voting has little to do with any of it. I don't know what fool stands at the podium screaming words has any control, and if they did, they would talk to the hole, also known as the devil, the dark one below. But I know whoever you vote for ain't gonna change none of it. I know in the end it's God's plan, and God's plan is like a Heemeyer tank times triple infinity plus infinity taken to the power of infinity, and that's still an underestimate." So yeah, you can vote and vote and vote and vote, and God's plan will still be the matter of the day. And if there is no God, I hate to break it to you, the universe will win the argument. And all the voting won't have anything to do with it. The voting won't change any of it at all. Okay, I will tell you something right now. It's a spoiler alert. It doesn't matter who wins. I'm not even sure I don't even know if they've decided it yet. Their main goal of this opera, in my opinion, is to piss people off, to confuse them, to make them angry, to take their focus off things that mattered. For example, the crap they might be spraying in the fucking sky. So if you ask, is it working? Fucking hella yeah. And it's working in part because people want to be lied to. They want lesser catastrophes for which you can take ivermectin or a vaccine, or you can just hire more cops. But if you tell them that something's happening, that no amount of vaccines or cops or horse dewormer or beef torpedoes is going to fix, yeah. Nobody wants to hear that. And the worst part about believing what I believe is that I think in the free world, which would also imply an honest world, we would be aware if there were something they were hiding or trying to hide. We would be more aware of it, and there would be billions of people thinking about it and coming up with ways to deal with it. Maybe not to fix it, which seems unlikely, a pole shift. I don't think you're going to do that, but at least a way to weather the storm, right? But instead, they take that away from us. They take away the opportunity through liberty to survive. Which is one of the reasons why I call government an extinction-level event. It isn't simply the case that freedom is a nice to have. Without it, we die. Without it, we can't solve problems. Without it, we can't be all that we can be, you know, as the army would say, right? Yeah. The voting isn't going to change anything. Right now it seems like the narrative is pointing towards Trump winning, but then there's the sub-narrative or limited hangout, which happens every time, and sometimes it's true, maybe, I don't know, because I don't believe any of it's real. There's a sub-narrative that they're going to steal the election, but if you believe what I believe, the election was stolen in 1787, and it's been fake ever since. Yeah, maybe not as fake as today, but as fake as they needed it to be. You know, they didn't need nuclear weapons in the 1820s. All they needed were a few divisions of infantry and cavalry to round up poor people and steal their land, because that's what they were doing. We can have all kinds of rationalizations about what happened to indigenous peoples in North America. They were rounding up poor people to steal their land. And they were using, as they do today, fear and intimidation and all types of weird eminent domain arguments, but in reality, they were doing what happens throughout history. They were rounding up poor people and stealing their land. When the Roman soldiers went away during the Second Punic War and fought for years and years on end, in what would have been, in ancient world terms, the equivalent of World War II. At one point during the Second Punic War, the Romans had nearly 300 legions operating year-round. In ancient warfare, that's considered unheard of. And while these Roman soldiers were away fighting for the glory of the Republic, keep in mind, this is a couple hundred years before Rome went bad, according to Hillsdale College. While they were doing it, the rich of Rome stole all their fucking land. Yeah, that's something. Does Hillsdale cover that at all? Maybe. Do the mega heads who play pretend about how we're like Rome, do they meditate on this shit? Probably not, though. While they were away, their land was ripped off. The story of people, grifters with power, taking land from poor people is as old as the story of grifters with power starving people to death. It goes right back to the beginning of time. If you're wagering on what their plan is, you could simply play the fucking numbers, buddy. Their number one way, every century, going back 7,000 years, to kill a bunch of humans is famine. It's not magical diseases, even though sometimes they do a good job. It's not war, even though war is great, it does a great job. The number one hit for controlling people, either regionally or on a grand scale, is famine. So look for the famine. Look for the obvious shit they do, because statistically it's what they do. Don't get pulled into the little stories, maybe. I don't know. But what I do know is this. Your vote's not going to do nothing. Next topic. Your vote ain't going to do nothing. I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. If they're spraying, they're going to keep spraying. If they're lying to you, they will continue to lie. If they're ripping you off, they will keep ripping you off, which is what they're always doing. Here is the next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Okay? God can't move you. You have free will. But he can stop you. He can put a stop to you. Just like Jonah, you can keep saying no, take a boat away, safe every day, then a whale shows up. God can't move you. You have free will, but he can stop you. My relationship with God is still kind of shaky right now. It's why I try not to talk about it too much, and it's why I haven't really been able to do any of the work as a disciple we all should do, which includes ministry. I haven't been involved in it, not for a year. And I'm okay with that, and I think God's okay with that. I don't think he's okay with this lasting indefinitely, but I think he understands. But if God wanted to smite me, take me out, he could do it any number of ways. You know, it's funny, a person I care about in my life who I've had to live around once told me that at night I would stop breathing for 10 or 15 or even 30 minutes. And this is recently, like this is in the last year. It's like, Dan, sometimes you stop breathing and you don't start breathing again for 20 or 30 or a couple hours. And it seems insane. In fact, it seems impossible. But again, I can imagine the Lord gets a lot of entertainment value out of people like me. I'm not special. I'm just one of the many buffoons. And in some sense, with his giant finger, he sort of pushes the odds around so that somehow, yeah, I probably did stop breathing for 20 minutes, but I'm okay. If you're a Christian, you probably had experiences in your life, even if you believe since you were a kid, where it seems like you want to do one thing, but the world around you is pulling you in another direction. And then maybe a year later you think on it and you say, well, this is what was supposed to happen. I think God does try to impact our lives. I'm absolutely convinced of that, and I believe in the power of prayer. So right now, there are people in Appalachia, people in lots of places around the world, Gaza, in the Ukraine, many places, maybe almost everywhere, that can use love and prayer. And prayer does work. That's great news. It does work. I don't think, based upon my interpretation of the scripture, that the Lord is really in the business of giant miracles like he once was. I just don't. I think that the miracle, in some ways, the biggest miracle, the one that we need to recall and remember, was him sending his only son to this world to be a teacher and then eventually to be crucified and die. So the giant miracles of splitting seas open or blowing up cities because, you know, that was justified at the time, I think that time is behind us in matters of faith. But that doesn't mean there aren't miracles. In fact, that's what Christ left behind. This idea that we could, through our own action, be the miracle. And so right now, there are lots of people helping out the folks in Appalachia. There are lots of people driving their trucks to get there, to get things delivered. People are being helped because other people care. Do I have an optimistic view of that long term as being functional? No, not really. I don't think that's the way things are going to look in a few months. But right now, while people can do these things, they do. And they do it because they want to, and because they love to, and because they care to, and because they have free will, and because they know the difference between right and wrong. They're able. A lot of people are not able to right now, but these folks can. God can't force you to do anything. I'm certain the Lord would love me to stop drinking beer. I am absolutely convinced of it. And yet at the same time, he can't really force it. He could simply let me, you know, have a heart attack or a stroke or some type of diabetic event, but it hasn't happened thus far. So I don't know what to tell you. God can't move me. Okay, God can influence me, God can touch me, God can whisper to me just like he can whisper to you, but he can't really move me. He could physically pick me up from one spot and move me someplace else, but he couldn't really force me to make a decision. And if I want to reject God, no amount of transportation would change that. No amount of whale showing up where the seamen toss you into sea to be eaten by a whale, no amount of interference like that would change your choice. Because you have free will. But he can stop you. He can stop you. It's like that thought experiment around time travel. I now believe, you know, that there is a science that would allow a form of time travel that would be extraordinarily powerful and impactful and dangerous. And so dangerous that if you were to take advantage of it, you could undo creation itself. Yeah. And I could be wrong, probably am wrong, but I believe it's possible. On the other hand, I also think that if you went about doing this, how can I phrase it? If you believe in God, probably before you push the button, you know, you get a little visit, a little knock on the door. Hey, knock, knock, knock. Hello, who are you? Oh, I'm an archangel. My name's Chad. You haven't heard of me, but look at my jaw. And I say, I'm going to give you an offer you can't refuse. I mean, literally, I wouldn't recommend it, buddy. Don't push that button. Don't go backwards in time. Don't harm reality. You know. But if you're an atheist, it's just as likely that if a bunch of people started messing with time travel the way that I envision it, that you could get a visit from a local space-time continuum squad from the galaxy who starts noticing the crap you're doing. And they will they're not going to give you a choice, Planet Boblimdog. They're simply going to fire their neutron torpedoes, and they know enough about time travel that you'll run into them right around the year 1400. Yeah. You won't escape them, is my point. Anywho. Next topic, last topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. With freedom, you don't get freebies. If you know, you know. With freedom, you don't get a free lunch. Ask Heinlein if you know, you know. right? With freedom, you don't get freebies. A lot of commies love to play with that idea. Well, they call it freedom, but there ain't nothing free. Well, no, there ain't. And there never was. Never, ever, ever. Ever, 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 commie. If you had two of your favorite foods in front of you, okay? Food A, food B. I don't know what those are for you, but pretend you had food A and food B. You can literally only eat one at once. Like, you could take a spoon from one and then take a spoonful from another. And you could even mix them together. But at the end of the day, you're only ever going to eat one at a time. You know, you're only ever going to fill up your stomach so much. Every choice you make has a consequence. It has an opportunity cost. If you choose to go to college, you can't go around the world at the same time. Maybe you can. Maybe it's called worldwide college. But the point is, the choices you make impact the choices you could have made. It's really that simple. There is an exclusion. It's called the law of contradiction, and it's absolute, and it's not something you can really mess with. So to say things like, well, there's no free stuff in the free world, well, there never was free stuff. You're always making choices that have consequences. Even the fact that you made the choice to do A rather than B, the choice itself created a consequence. That's simply the way things work. It's hard for people in the United States, and this is, I don't like the generational stuff, the beating up on boomers. I think it gets old. But I would say this is where the baby boomers kind of maybe made the problem worse, because they kind of, in their own way, through their own mythology, indoctrinated their children and their grandchildren to conceive of a world where things could be free. You know, the whole Star Trek, Star Wars, push a button, the food comes out of a food processor, you know, maybe we don't use money anymore like they did on the Next Generation because it doesn't matter or something. I mean, you know, and I'm talking about Star Trek, The Next Generation, because there's one of the episodes where Picard is explaining how nobody has any money, and it's like, oh my God, this is just gross. Gross. I think the boomers gave their kids a mind virus. I think that it's very similar to the Jetsons phenomena. I think their kids, the Generation X, gave their kids a mind virus. And so they look around and wonder why, but now they have kids. I think they gave their kids a mind virus. Now they look around and wonder why, and then they're going to have kids. But there are no freebies. Nothing. None of it's free. If aliens ever showed up, and I don't really believe in that stuff, but I also don't discount it, but if the aliens ever showed up, I think we'd find out that their problems, their issues, are not that different from ours, and that there's no real free lunch. Like, you can, and it's called expanding the production possibility frontier, you can change the way you use resources to get more of what you want or need, even if a particular resource becomes scarce. It's possible. But you have to replace something with something. You don't replace something with magic. It's like Paul Krugman trying to convince you that all you need is a printing press. Well, if you parachute me into the dark jungles of wherever town with a printing press, within 2 years you'll have civilization. Because that's the kind of Keynesian mentality, you know, if you print it, they will come. But that's not how the world works. It doesn't. And I think, you know, a lot of people are going to come to that realization once that mythology, the boomer mythos, the post-World War II mythos, dissipates, is they'll look around and realize, well, crap, the thing that was special, the thing that was exceptional, the thing that didn't fit with history was a period of time from 1945 until roughly the year 2008 in the United States, and not even everywhere here, really. But a group of people in this country experienced a period of time that was unprecedented, where they felt like they were going to become gods. And in a sense, you know, like, well, like Daedalus, in a sense, like so many who build towers that try to fly too close to the sun, they almost made it, right? Almost. If you listen to this podcast and understand that I'm currently working on my manifesto, my Danifesto, Boblimpdoc: towards a new lurching, If you listen to this podcast and you want to fund the uprising of Bunkton Day, where we take down the bad guys and the good guys win, okay? If you want to fund such travels and traverses involving starships and flying saucers and Bigfoot riding a surfboard, then you can donate to this podcast. As I've said so many times, I am not tax deductible, so don't do that. But you can donate. And you can donate as much or as little as you want to, but here's the disclaimer. Before you donate, and I'm going to drink a little coffee here. Before you donate to this podcast, take care of your food, water, shelter. Take care of those things you need. Food, water, shelter, the basic things that allow you to get by. If you don't have the money to take care of all those, you don't have the money to donate to me or any other stranger on the internet, okay? Before you donate, if there are people in your life, your immediate life, who need help, try to help them first. Help them first. These are the real people. I'm not talking about internet people. I'm talking about physical people you've met, you've hugged, you've shook hands with. Real people. And you know, if you have real people you trust who are currently helping the people of Appalachia, help them first before you donate to me. If you've set aside 6 months worth of food because you're an optimist for your family, yourself, or both, hopefully both if you have a family. But if you've set aside 6 months of food for your family or yourself or both, hopefully, if it is both, and you have a pet, a dog, a cat, a rat, a bat, a parrot, or some skunk named Jarrett. If you have a pet, you need to make sure you've set aside food for the pet. So do that before you donate to my podcast. And remember, as I say every time, and I'll keep saying it because you need to hear it, I'm not going to be the reason why anybody goes into a spiral. I talk about dark subjects, and I know I do, and this podcast is not for everybody. But I do not believe it's the end of the world. I don't. Even if my worst case scenario occurred, I still don't think it's the end of the world. So because it's not the end of the world, but also because what we consider normal, what's left of it, might be slipping away for a while, for a long while. Right now, you can still go see a movie. You can still go to the grocery store. You can still cook yourself a healthy meal for you and your family. You can still go on a date. You can still live a normal life and be happy. Before you donate to my podcast, make sure that you take some time and resources to bring yourself some joy. Because in the times to come, you might look back and say, why didn't I? But if you've done all these things and you are currently on a 170-foot yacht someplace in the South Pacific, and you listen to my podcast because you enjoy listening to pitiable freaks who live on the edge of oblivion because you no longer remember the feelings, Grombo. And you got more gold and hookers and cocaine and Bitcoin and silver and diesel fuel than you know what to do with. And you still have more than that. And you want to donate to my podcast, you can. I would recommend you donate, you in particular, Mr. Yachtman. You donate as much as you can. You donate as much as you want to. I need to build a compound. I need to complete my manifesto. And I will make you a first order priest of my, you know, of my cadre of Bo Blinktonauts, and you'll lead them to victory on Bunkton Day. So yeah, give me all your gold, buddy, because that's where victory is. And once again, it's a PayPal link. I don't have a better way. I'm not a fan of Peter Thiel. Don't want to talk about it. But it's the option I have, and at some point in the future, it'll probably disappear. But you can donate if you want to. It is Sunday, October the 20th, 2024, right around 11 a.m. Here on the Olympic Peninsula, if you can just see through the clouds of your own disorder, you could hear the voice from these foggy, musty, moldy, northwest mountain-style hills, eyes staring down at us with Bigfoot, and blood and yellow stained teeth. He's up there. You know he's up there. And Time's coming when Bigfoot and his brothers and sisters are going to come storming out of the woods down towards us. And they're going to take what they're owed, and they're going to take what they deserve, and they're going to turn us into their old-timey clove slaves, just like they did 60,000 years ago when they wiped out the Neanderthal. The Bigfoot's coming for us. We've had our time. Now time's up, and what do you got to show for it? They'll come out of the woods carrying bats, carrying spears, carrying rotten deer. They'll throw the rotten deer into our water supply, and they will watch us die, them Sasquatch who live in the sky. So have a great rest of your Sunday, buddy.